96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Thousands of reporters, producers, editors, and newsroom managers are in D.C. this week, all of them black or Hispanic. They're here for the annual National Association of Black Journalists Convention and partnering with the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. Tonight, we're talking about the impact journalists of color have on the news you consume. My guests are Sam Ford, reporter for WJLA ABC 7 right here in Washington, and a founding member of the National Association of Black Journalists.
Oh, Harold?
Yes. Yeah, how you doing? There you go. Sam's just chomping at the bit to talk tonight, I tell you. Of course, we have Nicole Quiroga, general manager of Telemundo TV here in Washington, and Troy Johnson, WHUR news reporter. The lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow us on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. It's an honor to have this great group of journalists here, including you, Troy.
Oh,
that's right.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, you're part of the team. Sam, let me start with you. Why are journalists of color in 2016 still relevant?
Well, we were not relevant at some point, or what are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is, why are we still important? Why is it necessary for our newsrooms, whether it be newspaper, bloggers, TV stations, to have journalists of color there?
Well, I think, let's say if you're, you know, a television station or a radio station, you probably want to have some reflection of your community. I think you want the people that watch your television station or listen to your radio station to be sort of represented, people that are concerned about what they do, people that are interested in that. Now, they don't have to just be interested in that. And I don't think if you're, say, a black journalist, you're only interested in black issues. You're interested in a lot of stuff. But at the same time, you know, I've been a reporter here at Channel 7 for almost 30 years. Let's say the black people do call me more than white people do to give me story ideas, things like that. I certainly know a lot of people in the city, and that's part of the story of the city. It's, you know, it's part of the story that needs to be told, and that's what I do.
Nicole, do you think that it is important, particularly when you're talking about mainstream news operations, that journalists of color be there to make sure that the stories that are presented are culturally correct, perhaps even not racist or prejudiced?
I mean, I think that's one of the most important roles that we as journalists of color serve in our station, but also to communicate to the management. And I think that's more so than try and represent the story correctly, which I think is critical. I think we also need to be the messengers to the higher ups in our organization that, based on research and we all know, tend to sway to the white, if you will. And so, you know, as Latinos, as people of color, you know, that would be even more critical for me, because it's really the mindset, I think, of the older generation that, you know, has led the media for quite some time to make sure to, you know, educate them about how important it is to be diverse inside the newsroom so we can represent outside the newsroom.
But, Troy, you know, some news directors, particularly perhaps white men, for example, may say, well, you know, this is an affirmative action thing. We got to bring the black folks in. We got to bring, you know, the brown folks in just to, you know, make sure that we are stay applied to the laws. But are they missing the message?
Yes, they're missing the message. And oftentimes, we're the last ones hired and the first ones fired when decisions need to be made. And there is, it's important to have the context of our vision of what our communities are included in the storyline of what's happening. We're the organizations of record. We're keeping track and telling stories that are truly important to, you know, our communities. So it is much more than just making the correct hire. There's got to be some purpose behind that, and there's got to be, hopefully, more voices, more perspectives that come along with what that person brings to the table.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the impact journalists of color have on the news you consume. With that said, and certainly you all are welcome to jump in, but I want to piggyback on what Troy just said. What is the danger of not being objective as a journalist of color? You know, there was a time, particularly during my TV career when I was during the 90s, where they send the black guy to cover the black story. Does that still happen?
Well, you know, I'm in several newsrooms. If you are the black guy, you're the one who picks up on the black story. And when you think about the scope of what you're covering in the day, that could there's a whole aspect of the story that could be missed. You know, for example, the you know, Tim Kaine spoke in Baltimore today to the Urban League. Now, some people might pick up on the fact that there's a vice presidential candidate who is talking on the campaign trail. But there's a much bigger story about what the Urban League actually does in the community, the impact, for example, a convention like that has on Baltimore. Why are they even in Baltimore? So those kinds of things aren't going to happen if perhaps there's not an African-American reporter there to think about those things.
What kind of battles do black reporters fight in mainstream newsrooms? Sam, you said you've been at JLA for some 30 years, and you know you've been a journalist for even longer than that.
Well, you know, you have battles. The battles will be, we have a morning meeting at Channel 7, okay? And this is when we sit around a table, sort of like we are now, and discuss what's going to be covered on that particular day. In my case, my title is D.C. Bureau Chief, and I'm actually on the phone from an office in Washington. But we talk about things, and, you know, because I've been there 30 years, if there's something I want to cover and they just pass it over, then I come back and add it again and then add it again and add it again. And I kind of have a reputation as being a person who, if you don't give me the story on today, then I'll come back and ask you about it tomorrow. And eventually we'll get it on Channel 7. That's it. And I think that's it. Again, the idea is this is a diverse community and there should be many voices and many things on the air. And if it's something important that I think is important, eventually I'll get it on Channel 7. I mean, that's it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ty, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, I'm a big fan of both of you guys. I've been listening to Sam for the whole 30 years. And there's an African proverb which says, until the lion is able to tell his story, the hunter will always get the glory. And so I just appreciate you guys being there so we get the news the way we need to hear it.
Well, thank you, Ty. I really appreciate that. I appreciate you listening. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Simone calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Simone. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening. I've enjoyed WHUR and the program ever since I actually attended the university back in the 80s. So thank you so much for what you do. My comment is that black journalists and even other minority journalists are relevant because of their passion, because of their skill, because they're, you know, just as educated as anyone else that is in the field. And I think that should be first and foremost. I think representation is very, very important and them, you know, of course, being represented and them being able to go into their communities and represent and present the stories and that like is also very important. But I think, first of all, they're relevant and it's their passion. They're excellent at it. They, you know, are all very well educated and very well spoken, and they really do have a passion and a drive for what they do, and they present it so well.
Simone, thank you so much. Nicole, I want to ask you, particularly this year during this highly volatile, spirited, colorful, dare I say, presidential election, when there is talk of building a wall along the southern border, what kind of conversations do you have in your in those newsrooms? And to be quite honest, how do you keep from gritting your teeth and really trying to tell an accurate story without
leaning too far one way or the other?
And, you know, that's an excellent question and an excellent point. I think the media needs to be responsible across the board to tell the story from beginning to end and not just get it right there in the middle where it seems that it's all about, you know, the wall and about, you know, throwing people out. You know, the actual word, the stories that we're telling can either elicit violence or a violent behavior from people, or it can soothe them by educating them, you know, from the story, from why certain things happen, from where it's the responsibility of the United States and where it's, you know, the way that we can fix something like immigration reform and how we can. So I think it is a very interesting time right now. But I will tell you, I wish that the people who are campaigning would take a little bit more responsibility to learn the proper way to say the proper thing. And by that, I just mean to include all people, to educate them before they start, you know, getting in there where people are just reacting to, you know, the words that they're using without understanding the real history that we've come from. So I think as the media, we need to be more responsible to educate first.
But how do you deal with stereotypes? Because you hear immigration.
Sure.
And first thing you think, Mexican. You think Latinos.
Right.
But the reality is, particularly in this city, there are immigrants of every shade from all over the world. And yet, I'm quite sure that when you talk about immigration issues, the first thing the reporters want to do, and obviously, you know, for Telemundo, there's a very specific focus. But for mainstream, and even for us, you know, sometimes we have to think, do you have to talk to somebody who is from south of the border? Is that a challenge?
When we're talking about immigration specifically?
Yeah. And dealing with stereotypes specifically.
I think we don't have to necessarily talk from someone that comes south of the border. But what I think we need to remember is that this has been something that the United States has been built on, whether it's been, you know, from the colonization or immigration or other tides, other waves that have changed our demographic, that has changed our behavior. People need to understand that this is not the first nor the last time that any kind of demographic change is happening. Clearly. And so when we have this conversation with mainstream, I think, again, we need to take the time to remind people our original, you know, how things came to be this way. Where we came from says where we are. But I don't see the media, you know, stepping up or taking the not time necessarily, but to remember that reminding people where we come from often leads them to then see the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sam? Are there times when during the course of your career where there have been teachable moments as it relates to stereotypes?
I don't know. One thing I did want to talk about since you're here is that we are the NABJ. This is a big deal for us this week because we're at the Wardman Park Hotel, mm-hmm. and we started at that hotel in 1975. So, you know, it's in a way, it's coming home back to Washington, where a lot of us came from. There were 44 of us who came from all parts of the country. What happened at that time, there was a conference of black elected officials, which was created by the Joint Center for Political Studies.
Well, hold that point, because I want to drill down a little bit and I want you to take us there. But I've got to take a very important break and I want to find out more about that, because a lot of people have never heard this story. And here's an opportunity to talk to someone who was literally in the room. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gary from Southeast D.C., Lynn from Silver Spring will be talking to you. Lines are still open. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question. And please do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.